Zacchaeus House International Outreach Ministries presents Life Changing Radio. I'm Alex Lapos, and this is Impact. Wrote to the Church of the Galatians in his epistle, chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. With that statement, he established the ultimate conviction that God seeks to establish in the heart of every believer. He wants to bring you to the place where your only source of strength, your sole trusted resource, your overriding passion, your utmost devotion, and supreme confidence is not centered on the world and its wisdom, not on man and his airheaded speculations, not on your own puny reasonings and sandcastle dreams, or your limited depleting strength, or your ever-decaying, steadily rotting body, but on one thing, the glorious, majestic, mighty cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will boast upon this one thing, his cross. And the title of this program is What a Mighty Cross! What a mighty God! Through that cross I found the gateway to the ultimate meaning and purpose in life, a relationship with God. If you're listening to me today and you have somehow missed the cross, you have no relationship with God regardless of whatever emotional flutters you may feel as you practice your religion. Jesus died on that cross to remove the barriers that block you from intimacy with God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Without Jesus and his cross, we are cut off from God and we're dead even as we live, with nothing before us but a wasted destiny. It will be a life lived for nothing. But through that cross, I've discovered my ultimate problem. It is a debilitating, destructive force. It's a terminal condition that only Jesus can reverse. I have sin living in me, and through it, I have become alienated from God, and I've been plunged into an endless conflict with man. I even hurt the ones that I love, and I don't love them much, and I don't love them for long. Sin distracts me from the things that really count, people, and hurdles me into a pursuit of inanimate possessions and worthless ventures, like money, fame, success, all useless when you've bought them at the expense of people, the lust of which is motivated by a corrupt character. And so that cross has saved me from sin. Thank God, what a mighty cross! Through the cross, I've discovered the secret of a victorious Christian life. Paul revealed it in his letter to the Philippians, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and be conformed to the fellowship of his sufferings. Here is victory, having the resurrected Christ living you and through you, and then you can do all things. But to know the resurrected Christ, you need to know the crucified Christ first. We must come to God in brokenness, our lives poured out, spilled out before him, even as his life was poured out and spilled out before the Father. In fact, in each of the letters of the word cross are the attitudes that lead us to the power of the resurrection. C is for consecration. R is for repentance. O is for obedience. S is for submission. And S is for service. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Without the cross, there is no resurrection. No emptying of yourself, there is no exaltation. And so when you waver in your confidence of the cross, you can never stand on your feet as a Christian. I wonder how many of you have real confidence in the cross, or are you looking to other things for your fulfillment? Perhaps your walk is compromised. Perhaps your heart is divided. Look at your double-mindedness. Look at the unraveling of your security. Your mind walks in wobbly steps, and you have the testimony of discouragement, dryness, defeat. If you don't believe in a mighty cross, you are in for a mighty loss. John Bunyan, in his book Pilgrim's Progress, writes of a test that every believer must go through. It's a stop on the road where our faith receives its most severe challenge. The place is called Vanity Fair. Vanity Fair was a carnival city. The main character, Christian, and his companion, Faithful, had to travel through it on the way to heaven, the celestial city. It was a collection of every ungodly attitude and pleasure laid out on streets representing the nations of the world. Here, Christians who start with total confidence in Jesus and his cross are tempted to shift their allegiance to the wisdom of this world and all of its assorted amusements, and many never make it through. We ourselves have to face a type of Vanity Fair every time we step out of our houses, and I fear that some of us may not make it either. We profess to believe in Jesus, but it's obvious by the way we live our lives that we are investing in something else. We are headed for trouble. I would like to help you through Vanity Fair. Keep in mind that the Bible says that the natural man is hostile to the things of God. The spiritual man embraces them. Inside you right now, there's a natural man and a spiritual man, your flesh and the Spirit of God, battling for domination. 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us that the natural man doesn't receive the things of God. He tends to gravitate towards an ungodly wisdom that is earthly, self-seeking, sensual, demonic, confused, and evil. This is why you have to walk in the Spirit and put down the things of the flesh. You can never receive the things of God if you're operating in the flesh, but your spiritual man is always open and yielded to God, and this yieldedness brings peace, purity, and every good fruit. To walk in the Spirit, you've got to put Jesus first in all things. You've got to become crucified to the world, dead to its wisdom, and alive only to the cross. I would like to restore your confidence in that cross. In 1 Corinthians 1:25, the Bible says that the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of man. Throughout history, we've seen how man has displayed his wisdom. Let's gather it all together. Imagine with me a huge convention center. Inside, there's an event like a trade show. There are hundreds of glittering booths all displaying the wisdom of man. There is the latest in computer technology over there. The most successful advances in business over here. A Hall of Fame featuring all the great men and women who have ever lived, great thinkers, fine artists, prolific leaders, both the living and the dead, and carousels of inventions and discoveries. I see miles and miles of consumer products, snacks, drinks, delicacies, buffets steaming with exotic food. I see homes and furniture with unbelievable comfort and luxury, racks and racks of clothes, stacks and stacks of shoes, piles of jewelry, and miles of refinery. I see travel agents, exercise classes, beauty salons, financial consultants, professional experts of every sort, and all around the periphery, a circle of podiums featuring an endless parade of speakers who yammer all day long and never agree. And look, books, CDs, videos, libraries of the stuff. I hear endless music blasting for our attention, the accumulated glory of man, all under one roof. God has declared it all null and void. His wisdom was displayed in a shattered body, pools of blood, a sacred head now wounded, a bruised and battered sacrificial lamb, a suffering Savior, majestically bleeding with love, his blood drenching the cold stones beneath him with showers of mercy and grace, not the rocks under the cross, but our own petrified hearts. 2,000 years ago, nails were driven, wounds were opened, a divine cry was heard, and man was set free. God has accomplished more through a coarse piece of wood, a splintered crossbar, an old dirty rope, and a wooden hammer than all of man's combined wisdom, knowledge, and glory put together. The Jews sought for a sign, and God gave it, a beaten Messiah. The Jews said, preposterous. The Greeks sought for wisdom. They look for the ascent of man to be completed by his becoming a god and relieving himself of all of his problems. But in Jesus, God became a man to suffer and experience the worst and to receive all of our problems upon himself and our intended judgment. And the Greeks said, ridiculous. We are citizens of Western culture. We've been profoundly influenced by the Greeks. Man is still trying to become a god. The Greeks believed that one day he would develop a perfect mind, perfect body, perfect soul, perfect life, perfect countries, perfect government, perfect schools, perfect teachers, perfect homes, perfect relationships, perfect marketplace, perfect economy, perfect technology, perfect comfort, perfect convenience, and gained perfect happiness. This would be proof positive that he had achieved divinity. The world seeks the same thing, and regrettably, so do some Christians. Jesus' answer to the Greeks, the world, and to carnal Christians was to be counted with the criminals and allow his life by worldly comparison to be wasted by an untimely death and accomplish nothing, or so it seems. The Greeks would say he had no testimony, no legacy, no library, no posterity, no estate, no dignity, and certainly leave no memory that he ever existed. But in his foolishness, or rather, in the foolishness of the cross, Jesus has established more testimonies, more legacies, more libraries, more cheers, more dignity, more glory than the Greeks could ever possibly imagine. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 asks, "Where then is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age?" But I have a better question today. Where are you? Are you living your life as if the cross never happened? Are you still searching for fulfillment in things that God has declared null and void? Why deplete your strength and ruin your testimony by grasping after the things that God says are futile? And if you are not a Christian, why work and sweat and cry and invest all of your life only to waste away and die and then lose in eternity? Give up this foolishness. Acquire the wisdom of God. Make Jesus the center of your life and you'll truly live. You'll be able to say with the Apostle Paul, "God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then you will escape Vanity Fair and head for glory. You will be at peace. You will be fulfilled because you will have embraced the higher wisdom of God and you will be on top of the world. What a mighty God! What a mighty cross! And then from that cross you will be led to the resurrection. Once your sins are forgiven, the life of God through the Holy Spirit will begin to live in you. And the same power, rather the same person who rose Jesus up from the grave, will now live in you. You will be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If you'd like to invite Jesus Christ into your life, or if you are a Christian and you are far away from God's priorities, the cross and the resurrection have become faded in a pursuit of things that are temporal and will not last, you can commit your life again to Him right now. Just ask Him to come in, and He'll hear you. The Bible guarantees it. If you'd like to write to me, or to send us a donation to keep Impact on the air, or to support the ministry of Zacchaeus House International Outreach Ministries, you can do so at Impact with Alex Lapos, Post Office Box 106, Verdun, Quebec, Canada, H4G3E1, and make your checks out to Zacchaeus House. Or you can email me at zhouse@canada.com. Now this is Alex Lapo saying, may the Lord impact your life as you impact others for the Lord. Goodbye.